your favorite comedian Anthony Rogers live in his tour bus. Yeah. But also, you need to get a beard like this. People have been talking. They said your shit looks whack. It looks weird. They can't tell your pronouns. You need to get a beard like this right now. And the only way to do that is by using Luxurious Bastard Beard Oil. Great smell, great function, great everything. Just get this. And there's directions on how to use it if you know how to read. But use the link in the description. Go to the website. Use promo code LEGENDARY. Get a discount. Do it. Thank you. Boom.
At Revolution Coffee Company, we are dedicated to giving you the best cup of coffee you have ever had while supporting those who keep us safe. We roast our coffee daily and we offer same-day shipping. Our coffee never sits in a warehouse or a shelf getting stale. Our prices beat our competition and our coffee speaks for itself. Check us out at revolutioncoffeecompany.com.
Welcome back to the greatest podcast that's ever existed. I'm in the study, live here with one of the biggest legends in rock music. I guess his band's a little more deeper than just rock, but ska, punk, I don't know, you know, jazz, I don't know, you know. One of the biggest legends in music right now. One of my favorite bands, Charlie Paulson from Goldfinger. How you doing, brother?
Jesus Christ, bro, that's high praise.
It's true, though, man. Your band rules, bro. Yeah, yeah, it's a good songs, man.
Appreciate that.
I want to start off with this. As a kid, this is, like, fun. I think this is, like I said, like, I was introduced to your band, like, as in, like, high school or something, you know? But that song, Mabel, are they talking about you in that song where she said, like, she's talking about now she's out with Charlie?
Yeah, it's me. And it's something I've had to live with for the last fucking almost 30 years.
Is that a real story or is that just like a jest or something?
It's based on true events.
Oh, I'm sorry to rip that band-aid off. Just as it was like kind of like a prankster kid. It just made me laugh, like the lyrics and stuff, man. It's like Mabel's one of my favorite songs, probably, by you guys. It's just a catchy song, you know?
Word. Yeah, it's funny how that song was totally organic.
It felt that way.
I got to rehearsal late one day. And I walk in, and Darren and Simon were just sort of jamming this chord progression. And I didn't know what it was. And I just started bop, 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 that little guitar line I play. That just came up with that. And John's like, don't forget that. And didn't think of it. The next day he came in and he had all the lyrics written. So it was just completely organic.
So catchy, man. I love it. Yeah. Super catchy song, man. A lot of your stuff's like that. I mean, to be honest, a lot of your stuff's catchy. But yeah, no, the guitar is killer, man. That's a huge part of it, man. And this is kind of a cheesy question, but I feel like the answer would be cool. Like, well, how'd you guys all form and stuff? I didn't read anything about that. Like, there was nothing on the internet that I found. How did kind of Goldfinger get its start, you know?
Let's see. So early 90s, I was I had a pretty ferocious drug habit, and I was living on the streets, and I had just gotten clean. I had maybe been clean for a few months, and I was
Are you still sober?
Oh yeah,
me too. No, it's awesome. I like that.
One of the people that helped me out a lot in the beginning was Feldman. You know, I used to crash on his couch, and he was in this band at the time that I would help out. You know, I would guitar tech for and shit like that. And he and I had a lot in common. We love Social Distortion and TSOL and Madness and the Specials and all that shit. And the band he was playing in at the time was way more sort of like Faith No More type. And he just got bored with it. It's not where his heart was. And so I saw him out one day and he's like, you'll come listen to these songs. We went to his piece of shit little, he had some weird little Dodge Econo box. And he played me this cassette of just acoustic guitar and him singing. And they were these little pop punk songs, you know what I mean? Very sort of Buzzcocks influenced. And he's like, do you want to do this? And that was that meeting in his car was the genesis of what was to become Goldfinger.
Wow. What'd you guys do the band name if that's not weird? It's another cheesy question. I just want to know that.
Say it again.
Where'd you guys get the band name? I know it's a cheesy question, but I just want to know.
It comes from the James Bond movie. Okay. So what had happened was John and I jammed a few times with a couple different drummers, and we couldn't find somebody that was hitting. And then I got this job as a guitar tech on for this band on the Danzig tour. And while I was gone, John had found Darren, and I wasn't really around, so he found this other guitar player, and I got fired off that tour. Which is a really funny story. But in the interim, the guitar player that was playing with Feldy, he was having some issues, and it was driving me crazy standing on the side of the stage every night watching this band play because they were fucking awful. And I knew Feldy had a bunch of shows booked. I mean, I've told the story 1,000 times, but so as soon as I got back to LA, I hit him up and I said, yo, I know Steve's in the hospital and I know you got shows booked. Because the dude's a machine. So he's just, I'm sure he had 10 shows booked already. So I said, I need to fucking play. So I'll fill in for Steve until he gets back. And then, I wound up playing 2 shows in one night. Our bass player, Simon, was so sick that he had to go to the emergency room after the second show. He had like 105 temperature. And that was sort of, that was, you know, that's really the birth of Goldfinger.
Cool. Yeah. No, it started to go backwards. It's a typical question. I just thought it's interesting for like, just, I mean, it's just interesting like to know that as a fan, you know, even though you probably, like you said, you probably told that story thousands of times, bro. But what I found cool doing a little homework too, is like, you were in basketball. Like, who'd you play in basketball?
Oh Jesus. Oh, okay.
I legit love that movie.
So when South Park started, we were on the road on that first album and we were like everybody, we were obsessed. So we got a hold of their production company. And we said, hey, we're this band on the road. And at the time there was no internet. There was no, you know, you weren't watching shit on your phone. So we called them. We said, we're huge fans of the show, but we're on tour. Is there any way you could send us VHS it was still VHS copies of episodes, you know, just send them, you know, once a month to whatever hotel we're at. So we'll have South Park on the bus. So that started our relationship with Matt and Trey. And then we come home off that tour and they got signed to this movie called Basketball. And they asked us if would we be in it. And originally they wanted us to, because Real Big Fish is also in that movie. So originally they wanted us to do the Real Big Fish part. And I think they wanted us just to play one of our songs at like a game or whatever. But we thought, and now we probably would have done it differently, but we thought it'd be more fun to play characters or something. So at the time, nobody had seen Axl Rose. Guns N' Roses was effectively broken up and Axl had just disappeared into the ether. So Trey had this idea that it would be really fucking funny to have Guns N' Roses play the national anthem at one of these basketball games. And we would dress up like GNR and Trey would dress up like Fat Axel. And he wore a fat suit. He had the wig. And then he instead of singing into a microphone, he sang into a turkey leg. And let me back up a little bit. Originally, it was Billy Idol. Nobody had seen Billy Idol for a long time or Axel. They were both off the fucking grid. So originally it was going to be Billy Idol, but while they were making that movie, Wedding Singer had come out. Billy Idol had done a cameo in that film and he looked great. So like the joke, fat Billy Idol was effectively killed. So we went into the studio. I'm really fucking the story up, but we went into the studio.
I was actually just thinking you're a great storyteller as you said that. I'm like, this guy's a pretty good storyteller. And then you said you were like it's funny how you were thinking that while you said that as I'm thinking you're a good storyteller. Like literally, that's
okay,
great.
Okay, so we're in the studio to record a Billy Idol version of the national anthem. Matt and Trey come to the studio that day and they're like, we can't do this. Billy Idol's fucking Wedding Singer, the whole fucking thing. I'm sitting in the live room just jamming with Darren, our drummer. And I was playing this riff that kind of sounded like Paradise City. And Trey freaked out. And he's like, dude. And that's where the fucking GNR idea came up. So we do sort of right there on the spot, we come up with this version of the national anthem that has the dad, sort of GNR riff. So that the idea was born. We were going to do it as Guns N' Roses, and he was going to be Fat Axel. We went, and if you look at my Instagram, they're the only thing that survived, because it's not in the deleted scenes in the DVD or anything, but the only thing that survived is this photo of us as Guns N' Roses with Trey as Axel. And it was fucking hilarious. And at the end, we play the national anthem, and at the end, instead of smashing a guitar, Trey takes a guitar and sits on it because he's, you know, Fat Axel. And it was fucking hilarious. Like, I'm Slash, and I got a cigarette burning, and it catches my hair on fire like they had pyro guys. And it was amazing. I don't know why the scene got cut, but I think Axel may have threatened to sue or something. But it was by far the funniest part of the fucking movie, but it didn't survive.
That sucks. Okay, was that, you had me going through my brain trying to figure out where you guys were at. That's okay. Yeah. I know the whole band, too. Man, yeah. That sucks. Because Baseball is such an iconic movie. I love that
and
movie.
Is it Steve Perry?
Dude, yeah.
One of my endorser, Goldfinger, is endorsed by Waterloo, the only sparkling water we drink.
Wow. What kind of, is that like flavored water and stuff?
It's ginger.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That's cool. I didn't realize you were redhead until before the show. I didn't realize that. You always have like a clean cut thing back then. You're always like clean.
Oh yeah, my beard's pretty fucking red.
That's crazy, man. I didn't know that till today. That's crazy. You always seem like kind of clean cut, you always seem like that. Does that take a lot to shave your head every day? You do that every day, or
no, what? Bro? It's just boom, boom, boom in the shower. It's pretty quick at this point.
Okay, it seems like a lot. Yeah. Like people always act like, oh, beard's a lot of work. This is like I don't do anything, and like, you got to do that probably like daily, man.
You got dreads at the bottom?
It's getting there, not yet, but it's getting there. Yeah.
Keep twisting.
That's funny, man. No, that's crazy. I didn't know you guys were friends with the guys from Soundgarden. It makes sense because you're huge in the time it blew up to it too. I mean, that makes
right,
sense.
Right. Yeah, they were popping right around the same time we were.
Yeah, you both are still, but I mean, that's but in the origin story, you know, you guys both kind of blew up around the same time originally, probably, you know, like a late '90s type thing. I'm assuming. I'm not telling you your career. I'm assuming that's what it was. That's what That's when I found out about Goldfinger. Yeah, dude. So like, what's your writing style like for these like catchy ass songs, man? Like, yeah,
that's more of a Feldman question. He is the primary songwriter in Goldfinger.
So they come to an idea and you put the guitar over it, kind of thing.
Usually he'll have like chords and a melody, and then I will go to work on the guitar shit, and that sort of more shapes the identity of the song. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he will finish the lyrics and the top line, and you know, oftentimes I'll help him with lyrics and shit. But generally, 90% of the time, that's Feldy. You know what I mean?
What's your favorite Goldfinger song?
Fuck,
I know there's a lot, bro.
I would probably say Question off of our second record.
Okay.
Or the first song on the last record is called Infinite. I co-wrote that with him.
Okay.
And it's Feldy, Mike Herrera, who plays bass with us from MXPX, and I all wrote equally on that song. And it's just, it just fucking rips. You know what I mean?
Dude, yeah.
So, man. I'm always a fan of the faster, heavier shit.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I like hearing your bedroom a lot, man. That's like a really catchy fucking song too, man.
Oh yeah.
I love that kind of song. It's not as heavy as like you're saying you say like the heavier ones, but that one's like a super chill kind of style. Like were there any kind of like, I mean, I guess it is kind of Operation Ivy now you say that. Like you said Operation Ivy earlier, I kind of see that. But are there any kind of styles you felt like you guys kind of like merged into to create this kind of a unique kind of sound, you know? So I feel like it is like it's kind of unique still. I mean, there are subgenres I see, but I mean it's still kind of a unique sound, you know?
Op Ivy are definitely the forefathers of ska punk, no fucking question.
Yeah, but
they weren't a huge influence on us in the beginning. I mean, John and I are roughly the same age as those guys.
How old are you?
53.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So when John and I first started jamming together, I said, do you want to play? Because John and I were huge Fishbone fans.
Okay.
And Fishbone, if you know anything about them, they play everything. And everything they play is fucking masterful. They play They play reggae, ska, punk, funk. I mean, and they're just, and they're the greatest live band ever. And the idea that you could blend genres like that, I thought, and I remember saying to him, and he doesn't, I don't know if he remembers this, but I remember saying, dude, we should also play ska. And he said, like the Selector, which is odd because I don't think he likes the Selector very much. But yeah, that was his response. And I'm like, sure. Yeah. I mean, I love the Selector, but yeah, it wasn't so much for Op Ivy as much as it was the original two-tone movement. Cause at the time in LA, there was in East LA, especially there was a skinhead movement, not to be confused with any fucking Nazis. And I don't want to give the history of skinheads, but traditional true skinheads are very, very anti-racist. And there was a crew that I used to hang out with called the Ghost Town Skins, because there was a band that I used to hang out with called Section 8, and they used to play their parties all the time. And that's sort of where the whole thing came from my end, at least.
Cool, man. No, that you summed it up really well. And because like you can classify it as ska as horns, you can classify it as punk as some of the riffs, but I definitely think, I mean, even jazz sometimes with some of the undertones, but I think it's like its own thing. Like, I mean, it doesn't sound like, I don't know, it didn't sound like Real Big Fish or something. It didn't sound like the stereotypical ska bands, I'd say, you know, like, and it definitely is ska, but I'm just saying, like, it still feels like it's its own thing, you know, and I kind of like that about it. It's like pop in a way too, and it's like punk in a lot of ways. It's like, I mean, pop in the way it's catchy.
Well, ours of all the third wave bands, I think, I mean, unless you want to count bands like Mephistopheles or Suicide Machines, ours, as far as the poppier end of things, always was a little more edgy, a little just a little bit nastier than like Less Than Jake or Real Big Fish, or
it was just different, man. It was just,
yeah,
like, yeah. You guys had way more of like a fuck you attitude for like the, I feel like, you know?
Yeah. Oftentimes those are directed towards each other in the band, but yeah, that's where it comes from.
Yeah, yeah. Do you like anything that's going on right now currently in music? Like any kind of
project? Oh, yeah.
What kind of stuff are you get into?
It seems like for the last 10 plus years, The things that get me the most excited about music, I'll hear something and I'll be like, fuck is that? And it's coming from women. There's an artist in LA right now called I Speak Machine. And she's just fucking, she's like Gary Newman meets Nine Inch Nails. It's just fucking raw and electro, but angry as fuck, and she puts on a killer show. There's a band out of LA called Dagger Polyester that I love. There's a trans woman, a good friend of mine named Ms. Neon, and it's hard to explain what she does, but she sort of raps and sings over this dark, nasty electro shit. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, on the pop end of things, I'm a fucking huge Lady Gaga fan. I love baby metal. It just seems like women, the shit that catches my ear the most, you know, that's just been where it's been coming from lately.
That's awesome. I'm looking into some of those projects. I haven't heard of those. And that's kind of why I asked originally, so I can like learn a little bit. I definitely will check those out just out of curiosity.
Yeah. So if you're watching this and you want to check it out, Ms. Neon, MZ Neon, Dagger Polyester, and I Speak Machine. Those are the three that I would hype the most. Oh, but outside of that, you know, dudes playing straight up punk rock. I saw this band the other night called The Bad Nerves out of England. And they're like the Ramones. I would say the Ramones on speed, but they're like the Ramones on more speed. And I saw them at this little club in Echo Park the other night, and they just blew the fucking doors off the place. Bad Nerves out of England. They're killer.
That's crazy, man. You're going to have me looking up some stuff on Apple Music after this, probably. Like, that's cool. It's cool, man. I'll have to check that out. I know the Ramones always remind me of like the shitty Beatles, but like in a good way, you know? It was like
Beatles without the Beatles on fucking
different drugs, maybe.
The Beatles on speed, not on acid. Yeah.
So it was kind of, I mean, the same kind of rhythms and stuff, and like the same, I mean, they talked about darker stuff probably, I guess, like in their music, but it was just like the same kind of like Like, you know, the pockets they filled are almost the same.
Yeah, well, they wanted to be a pop band, but they just couldn't, you know, they wanted to be the Shangri-Las, you know what I mean?
I didn't know that.
You know, and leader of the pack and that kind of shit. But, you know, but meanwhile, they're writing songs about how Dee Dee was fucking turning tricks, you know, as a prostitute in St. Mark's Place and stabbing his Johns, you know what I mean? Over these, in these pop hooks, you know what I mean? The Ramones fucking rule.
Dude,
I wake up in a fucked headspace. There's three bands that I will go to immediately to pull me out of it, and that's AC/DC, Bon Scott era,
dude, yeah.
David Lee Roth era, Van Halen, or the Ramones, because it's just go, go, go. It's fucking, it's, you know, high energy, and yeah, it's like Sonic fucking Prozac.
Sonic Prozac. Dude, yeah, man, like, Van Halen's super good, man. No one really got as big as they did, man. That's a crazy – they had their own, like, kind of cult following, kind of weird – like, they took over the world, is what I'm trying to say. And it was a weird kind of band. I mean, I was negative 2 years old when that happened. But just, like, looking back, that's just, like, a crazy time in music, man. They had – they just had it, man. They had that quality, and a lot of their songs are great, man. You know, it's like – and it's funny, like, talking about the Ramones and Van Halen, those are two bands I always give my mom shit about, like, when I was, like, young. And then, like, now that I'm, like, older, I really appreciate them. You know, it's like, I remember being a kid.
Early Van Halen, the first five records, the fucking majesty and power and ferocity of that band.
So good.
I mean, Eddie was 19 when they made that first record. Go and listen to Eddie play on that first record, and he's a fucking teenager.
I think
he may have turned 20 when they were making that record. I mean, nobody will ever touch them. Nobody will ever touch him.
I didn't know how young he was. That's interesting. I mean, he killed it, man. He played on, like, Thriller. He played on some Michael Jackson songs too. I mean, that guy was just that guy was just an artist, man. That's crazy. Like, it's crazy about that. Like, I remember just giving my mom so much shit about those when I was a kid. Like, I'd always be like, I always, like, just tease her and be like, man, that sucks. You know, like, he's like, that was, like, her heyday, you know, like,
first favorite band?
First, probably Elvis, bro. I remember being a kid and, like, really got into Elvis when I was really young. It's like, right. I feel like I almost, like, followed, like, the story of rock, just like, you know, just like I fell into, like, Elvis and then, like, the Doors and that whole, like, 60s thing. And then I got into, like Nirvana a lot as a kid. And now I listen to, like, country gospel, man, mostly. You know, it's like I really been getting into, like, country music and just, like, stuff like that. And,
you,
like,
fuck with Chris Stapleton?
I do like Chris Stapleton, actually.
You like Jason Isbell?
Yeah, I like Cody Jinks the best, probably. Like, I do like the artist you named.
I don't know if I know who that is.
Cody Jinks is pretty good. Like, and then, like, I like I really like the 90s stuff, like Alan Jackson stuff, man. I'll just get down with a lot of that.
Yeah, that's a huge gap in my musical vocabulary.
It was like that.
Waylon, Willie, Hank.
Yeah, yeah.
Charlie Pride, and that's about where it ends. Dolly, Tanya Tucker, you know.
I think I found country and fell in love with country because it was such a dead spot. I remember just hating rap and country when I was a kid. And then I just tore through rap and country as an adult because I knew nothing about the Grand Ole Opry. I knew nothing about Hank Williams.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about any of these people. So it was like this, like, majestic land of, like, new knowledge of music because I feel like I figured everything out about. I already listened to most of the rock bands I liked, a lot of the most, you know, classic rock, 90s rock. I mean, all that stuff. I listened to a lot of that stuff. So it was just like an old rock thing, the grunt, you know, a bunch of stuff like that. So it was just like a new genre to tear through almost. And that's almost
it's fucking awesome when you make that discovery and then it opens up this whole new world. You know, Feldy played the Grand Ole Opry.
What? That's
yeah. Crazy. I don't know the context, but he got to fucking play there, dude. That was pretty cool. He's done a lot of really cool shit, but every once in a while something will pop up and I'm like, God damn, you did that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's huge. That gave me chills when you said that. That's a huge thing, man. Like, it's like
He might have played there with an artist he produced or something. I'm not sure what it was, but yeah, he played the Grand Ole Opry.
That's crazy, man. That's just like, I don't know what, that's just where I'm at right now. I'm like, I'll change every 5 minutes probably what I listen to, man. It's like,
yeah,
I listen to a lot of these, like, frequency music. So a lot of these guys, like this guy named on Abelhart, like TikTok, he blew up on TikTok a little bit. Like, he does a lot of frequency stuff. Like he'll do like the 888 frequencies, like frequency, like abundance supposedly. And like, do songs about, like, just within those frequencies of, like, love, abundance, authenticity and stuff with music, like how kind of Bob Marley and, like, John Lennon touched a lot on that too. Like, they would, like, alter frequencies to alter, like the listener almost. And, like,
For sure.
And that's kind of interesting to me right now too, is the frequencies. You ever get into any of that stuff?
Yeah, there's a specific frequency for sleep, because I have a hard time sleeping.
Okay.
And you can find YouTube videos that go on for 8 or 10 hours of just this specific frequency that's supposed to like unlock your subconscious and help you sleep. And so I think there's probably some truth to that.
It's interesting because I mean we are water, and like I mean it makes sense to me to a degree. I don't.
Yeah, but by the same token, astrology is fucking bullshit. I don't buy that for a second.
My wife does. Most women probably believe in that. Yeah, and I just like I just I'm not gonna say I wouldn't read it or haven't read it ever, you know. But I definitely don't know if I believe in it.
Yeah,
I'm a skeptic in a lot of things. I think astrology is one of those, you know. But I mean, I can see how people get there too. I mean, they study the stars and stuff. I mean, I just like I said, I'm kind of a dumbass, man. I don't really understand it, to be honest. Like completely, yeah, enough to be real or fake, you know. That's
well, Neil deGrasse Tyson was on some pod recently, and the woman just asked him straight up, like, is there any truth or any substance to the idea that the moon's tides affects our, you know, the time we're born and blah, blah, blah. And he broke it down very scientifically, and he just said, so no. that's the final word on that.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's funny, man. Yeah, that's kind of a funny question to ask Neil Tyson. That's kind of funny to get like.
I mean, his thing is physics and astronomy. So if anybody would know, he would know.
Yeah, yeah, no, physics are very interesting. When I stopped smoking so much weed, I really got into physics again. Like,
it seems like the two would go hand in hand.
Well, I felt like I was just limited. My brain, like speed, was just limited from my chain smoking and edibles and stuff. Like after I got out of it, I really did like quantum physics and the aspect of like parallel dimensions and stuff. Man, like I just got like hooked in that. I went down that road reading like M theory and like string theory and all that stuff. Like, and I tried to get the guy who created M theory on here. Like, but he answered me in 10 seconds, telling me he was too busy. I'm like, you answered me really fast, but you told me you're busy. I'm like, I respect even having an answer from the guy that created M theory. That's enough for me. I was like, that guy even answered me. That's nuts to me. Like. But where are you?
What part of the country are you in?
I'm in Missouri right now. I'm in
word. Our other guitar player, Moon, lives there.
Oh, okay. Cool, man.
Yeah, from he was originally in Story of the Year. He's on some huge morning radio show there. I think it's maybe called The Best Show or something like that. It's
Missouri show. I'm familiar with that actually. I didn't know he's still in your band. I knew that he was in your band at one point, but yeah, no, I'm
oh yeah, yeah. No, he's the fucking homie, dude. He's a dog.
Cool, cool. Yeah, no, I'm familiar with that show. That is a big show in St. Louis for sure. That's a lot of people listen to the Rizzuto show is what it's called.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, a lot of people listen to that, man. That's cool, man. Like, yeah, I mean, that's smart marketing for you, bro. I mean, that's just like get like a guy that's on like a morning show. That's pretty, I mean, for Goldfinger.
Yeah, it only translates to when we play St. Louis, though. Like, whenever we play St. Louis, all those shows are beyond sold out, and I know that most of that is because of Phil.
That's awesome, man. You know, yeah, I mean, it's just part of the puzzle, you know. It's just part of the puzzle. And, no, that's cool, man. I like. So you're a founding member of the band, though, too, right?
Yeah,
that's crazy, man. It's just like I couldn't imagine. Like, I mean, I wish I could collab more. I'm envious of people that are good at collabing. I feel like a band or something. I just feel like I'm so bad at collaborating, and I don't want to be. I just naturally am, and I just like I don't know what it is. I feel like I just outwork everybody, and then like. I don't know. That's what I feel like mostly.
Do you do, forgive me for not knowing, do you do music?
Oh, I tried. I'm terrible at music. I do I do comedy and I'm okay at comedy, you know. But
okay, so when you say collab, what do you mean? Just in what art form?
In anything, really. I mean, I feel like comedy is good for me because it's like kind of like a solo man's journey, you know. It's like a one man's journey type thing. Like whereas like, yeah, I tried music, I'm not talented. I try to do that route. And we'll also In my early 20s and stuff, music was dead. I mean, Napster to like 2016 or so, 2014 or so, music had like a dead period unless you're established before that, I feel like. I mean, you didn't have that problem as you're established before that. But I think like a lot of guys, like, and some people got out of it. I'm not trying to act like they didn't. But I think like it was a hard time to monetize if you didn't have a name already before Napster. It seemed like to me anyway. It seemed, maybe that's my excuse. I don't know. But it seemed like a dead period in music to where I just went to comedy because it felt faster to monetize and it's an easier thing without having to work at a gas station because I'm uneducated.
And also like it. I mean, it is DIY as fuck. If there's, you know, two people and a microphone, you can do it. You know what I mean? It's a really
that's how it starts. I mean,
low maintenance art form.
It is. And it's very similar to music too. Right? We travel on a bus forever. And like basically get out and, you know, I don't have to set up a drum set or anything or amps like in your case, I guess. You probably have roadies. Yeah. I mean, you're big enough. You probably got people do that. But yeah, you don't have to set up equipment or anything like that. I just kind of go there. I don't even bring my like my buddies in bands always make fun of me for not even bringing my own microphone. Like they're like my buddy's in like a rock band. Like he's in one of those bigger rock bands, and he always makes fun of me for not bringing a microphone with me. Like
yeah, I know. I mean, I know a lot of stand-ups and even singers that don't play an instrument or anything, but all they do is sing. But they bring their own fucking mic. They are very serious about it.
That's what yeah. That's what musicians make fun of me for that a lot. But no,
like, right, your camera is so clear, and I look like I'm in a David Lynch movie. I don't know well, what's going on over here.
Sometimes you just wipe it off, bro. That's why I had it. My wife helped me set this up. I had a smarter person like do it for me, you know. So,
nope.
I tried, you know. I tried.
No, I'm just in. I'm in the 50s. I'm coming to you from the Twilight Zone.
Dude, that's one of the best TV series of all time, man. Honestly,
without like, question.
I mean, it's timeless and how it's written too, which is crazy. Like, it's like just such a epic. Like, I don't know, man. Like, and it's funny seeing it when it came to like crystal clear, like big screens and stuff. You can like see like the cameramen and the reflections of glasses and stuff because like
technology
gets so much greater than it was used to back then.
They haven't sorted that shit out yet.
No, that was crazy, man. Like, what are you guys doing now? You guys touring and stuff still? Or what do you guys got?
We got a bunch of shows coming up this year because we don't full on tour anymore. Unless we go overseas, like if we were to go to South America or Asia or Australia, something like that, we'll do a tour because you're not going to go home in between every show. But everybody in the band but me has got hella kids. You know what I mean? So, and like home life, I've got three dogs that I hate being away from. But my responsibilities, you know, they've got responsibilities that I don't have. So we do a lot of festivals. We do a lot of weekend flyout dates. And we're going to be doing a whole lot of that shit this year.
That's awesome, man. Like, Australia sounds – I've never even been to Australia. That sounds nuts, man.
Yeah, it's really funny. Some comedian, I think Lewis Black, did this whole bit about how if I'm flying for 16 fucking hours – when I get off the plane, at least do me the courtesy of speaking a foreign language. He said, I feel like I've flown to the moon and I get off and I'm in Santa Monica. That's what fucking Australia feels like. It feels like the nicer parts of LA.
Dude, yeah, no, it seems like if Florida was a country. I guess what it seems like to me. Like, yeah, Nick from Rumble brought 99 Balloons. Man, that was like that was probably like the first kind of like huge song you guys had, I guess, right?
No, Bedroom was our first big single.
I didn't know that. I never knew
that. Yeah, and then Mabel did okay. 99 was on our third record. And, I didn't want to cover it originally because there's this band out of Oxnard here in California called 7 Seconds. Killer fucking band, punk rock band. And they did, like, a really dirty fucking punk rock version of it. And I'm like, well, you know, they sort of owned the they own that, you know what I mean? And I don't want to step on their toes. So we took it in a different direction. Like our version is a lot more produced and it's a lot heavier. You know what I mean? When it gets that riff, like I'm playing a 7-string, there's 808s and shit. So we took it in like the whole intro with the Who thing. So we just, like you can, I don't feel like we stepped on a 7 Seconds corner. We definitely did our own thing with it. And I've seen 7 Seconds many times since then. Kevin is the homie, the singer, and he always dedicates it to me when I'm at a show.
Is that not a Nina song?
It is.
Oh, okay.
Seven Seconds to me did the definitive cover of that song.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. When we were doing the third record, it was my idea to do some kind of a cover. I wanted to do like a timeless classic, like a Leonard Cohen song or something like that, but that was probably a little bit too out there for a Goldfinger audience. And then they started coming up with like 80s covers that we could do. And that was one of them. And I was like, nah, man, 7 Seconds owns that. But then he talked me into it and I said, well, let's do very much a different take on, on it. So yeah.
That makes sense. And that's one of those covers that I love both versions for wildly different reasons. You know what I mean? It's just like I feel like a lot of songs. Like, I mean, when like Johnny Cash did Hurt, I really liked Hurt better by him than I did Nine Inch Nails. I mean, I liked it by Nine Inch Nails, but I liked Johnny Cash's version more. But I feel like Nina had such a great version, and you guys had such a great version too in different ways. Like yours was like way more high energy and stuff, but and like cool in a different way. And that's
for sure, yeah.
But you know what I mean? I feel like it's like almost even tiered in a cover sense, which is weird for me because like usually covers are there's a drastic difference typically. I feel like and like the level of how much I like it as just a consumer, but you know, basic consumer level.
Yeah.
But I think that like that's the first song I heard about you guys. I think back in like the LimeWire days, bro.
Yeah.
It was like because my buddy, I found out about you. He's one of my friends in high school. Like the same reason, same way I asked you about your favorite bands. I asked kind of a lot of people like that, especially musicians these days. But I asked him what his favorite bands were, and he said Goldfinger is one of them. I'd never heard of you guys at that point. I was like 15, 16. And then I tore through your guys' stuff at that point. And it was just like killer, bro. I mean, it was just
oh,
like,
right on, man. I appreciate that.
And I still have
it. Dude, whatever it takes, however you got to get to it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's what it is. You make good music. People will come to you somehow, you know?
Hopefully.
fair. So you're from L.A. originally then, you said?
Born and raised, yeah.
Okay. The street tacos there, bro, you know?
Oh, word, dude. I mean, there's so much about it. It's funny. You know, L.A. is really fucking expensive, and it's not an easy city to live in. People, you know, they see, you know, palm trees and sunshine, and they come out here, and they realize it ain't like that. Well, I mean, it is like that, but there's a lot more to it than that. Do you know what I mean? And
what are some of your favorite parts? I want to be positive about everywhere. I think, like, a lot of people want to shit talk. LA and stuff. I don't hear some positive stuff, honestly. I don't mean to add that energy to it. I just mean to be honest.
Well, here's the thing. LA is so fucking big. And it's like it's, you know, oftentimes when we tour overseas, I feel like saying I'm not from America. I'm from Los Angeles because it's almost like its own country.
It kind of is, actually. Yeah, no, it kind of
is. I live basically Echo Park.
Okay.
Which historically... was the hood. Like, have you ever seen that movie Mi Vida Loca or Blood In, Blood Out? That was Echo Park. But over the years, it's gotten gentrified more.
I've never been there.
It's still a little bit hood, but it's also sort of hipster. And then, you know, if you go, you know, 2 miles to my left, it's Chinatown. And then, you know, half a mile past that is downtown. And then you've got South Central. And then from there, you go and you got Hancock Park, which is the original Beverly Hills. So LA is like you drive 10 minutes in any direction and you might as well be in a different state. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So LA, Los Angeles is whatever you're looking for, you will find it because everything is here. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, unfortunately, LA is, you know, it's the Kardashians and it's Paris Hilton and all that shit. But it's also, keep in mind, NWA comes from here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, so like, I mean, Goldfinger. I mean, a lot of.
A lot of people think we're from Orange County because of the way we sound. But no, we're a fucking LA band and we could not have happened anywhere else. And like I said, huge influences like, you know, like Fishbone, like Bad Religion, very LA. You know, the Circle Jerks, these are all very intrinsic to the DNA of this city. And I don't think we could have happened. We definitely would have sounded very different had we come from somewhere else. And so when people are like, they come and visit or whatever, and they're like, I fucking hate LA. Everybody's so fake. I'm like, bro, water seeks its own level. If that's what you're finding out here, take a look in the mirror.
Wow. That's a great way to put it. Yeah, no, I got caught up in a lot of that stuff. I make fun of other states for fun sometimes just to make myself laugh. But outside of it, I'm over that whole divide. And America needs to come together is where I'm at right now. And it's kind of disgusting right now to me, some people just trash Florida. Some people trash like New York. Some people trash LA. It's like, man, people are people, dude. Like, it's just like, let's just eat good food or something and like argue about cool shit, you know?
Here's the thing.
I judge you by its food, bro.
People shit on LA, but people from LA don't shit on other places because we don't care. Like, I fucking love New York. I love the history of San Francisco. You know what I mean? And it's got the greatest Chinatown in the world. It's got great skate spots, great tattoo shops.
You skate?
I love San Diego. I love Tokyo. I love, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm definitely of Los Angeles, but, I mean, we all have to be fucking citizens of the world or you're cutting yourself off so fucking much. You know what I mean? It's a great, big, amazing planet we live on. Do you know what I mean?
I totally agree. And I think that message needs to be out there more. I think than like, I definitely, and it's fun to jest. It's fun to make. Like, it's fun if it's in good fun to tease other people and stuff. But it's like, it's gotten to a point where it's just such a divide, man. And it's just like, it's just, to me, that's disgusting. It's just like, I just want to see. I mean, I want to have that same optimism, and I try to be as optimistic as I can. You know, I'm like kind of a cynical person, but I try to avoid.
Well,
that.
I mean, it's this generation, man. It's part of it is social media and the internet. I mean, I'm 53, so I was a full grown adult when social media happened, when Friendster and then MySpace and all that shit really happened. I was already a full grown adult, so I lived a huge chunk of my life without this shit. And like, I could have a neighbor or a coworker or somebody I knew my entire life and never know how they voted. And it wouldn't fucking matter. Do you know what I mean? And now everybody's opinion, everybody thinks that their opinion on literally fucking everything matters.
That's so, you know, true. What I mean?
And it fucking doesn't.
Dude, I disagree with everyone I talk to, man, and I don't care. like, that's how I feel.
Well, most. Do you know that song Disciple by Slayer?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That kind of sums it up on the negative end, but goddamn, I love that fucking song.
Slayer's a great band, dude. No, that's great. But yeah, it's just like everybody just thinks they have to have the exact same personality as everybody they hang out with. I'm like, dude, that's not, you're not going to learn like that, man.
Well,
you're not gonna...
even worse, yes, but even worse than that is people's.
I love your dog, man.
Oh, that's one of three. That's Leo.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, but like what I've noticed a lot, I'm very politically minded. I'm very politically active in certain ways, but I unless I'm standing up for somebody, unless I'm standing up for LGBTQ people or, you know, minorities or whatever, I don't sling the mud, and certainly not like I used to. But I'll notice it even on like a music posts, or, you know, I'm a huge basketball head, and like politics get in there too. And it seems like there's this new type of personality where people make their identity what they're against. There are people who have social media profiles that their entire identity is to shit on LeBron James. Like, they wake up in the morning, they have their coffee, and they go to the internet and they shit on one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And that, they have made that their fucking identity. And
no, that's nuts.
And it more so extends into politics than anything else. Yeah. But it's like, what a sad fucking pathetic life that is.
Yeah, and you don't have to agree with the person's business or politics or opinions or anything. Just like you can say he's one of the best basketball players to ever play. And I think that's what's important to me as a basketball player. It's the same thing with like, I mean, with like anyone in their art, man. It's like, I care about your art, your product, or your restaurant or whatever. I care about that more so. And like, I mean, I'll discuss politics and religion, whatever else. But I mean, most people probably don't. I mean, like, don't agree with my opinions. And I just don't even care.
I saw on your Instagram, you posting some libertarian shit, and I mean there's a lot about libertarianism that I agree with, you know. Yeah, what I mean? Yeah. There's some shit that I don't, but the only time where I find a disconnect with it is when it seems like people are expressing views under the flag of libertarianism that don't really seem very libertarian.
I can see that. It's just like, I'm trying to find the middle ground between everybody at this point. You know, I'm from Missouri, which is heavily conservative and stuff. And we're just supposed to argue with guys from LA. It's like, that's what it feels like. And to me, I don't know how to describe it. I'm just tired of the hatred and divide in our country. And I don't really know what I call myself anymore, you know? And I don't really know what I am. I think I'm trying to figure it out. And I think that, like, it comes down to, like, I just want people to get along, and I want to say, I love our country. And I think if you're any party, you love our country at this point, even if we disagree on the fundamentals and whatever else, you wouldn't even have a party. We need to see if you didn't love our country, you know. But it's like, I don't know, man. It's just like, I just want everybody to chill out and argue about music again or something. Like, yeah. That's about where I'm at, you know. I want to judge
people. Yeah.
Like when I was a kid, if you liked NSYNC,
Sports Aid is like as far as I want to take it. Like, I fucking, you know, I'm born and raised in LA. The Lakers are my squad. I consider myself a Laker, and fuck the Celtics and fuck Boston. But yeah, I've got a lot of friends from Boston, so I mean, that's where the line is. You know what I mean?
That's good, fun man talk, though. It's not like you start a civil war, bro. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, get rid of all this negative and civil war bullshit and argue about sports. Yeah, you're right. Sports and music and, like, And I'm the same way. I'm a San Luis guy, but I love we don't have a basketball team, so I love the Lakers. I mean, I like college basketball more probably, but
well, who would? Okay, so, and I've asked Phil this too. Phil loves the Nuggets because he knows somebody involved with that franchise. But so if you're in the Midwest and you're not Indianapolis and you're not Chicago, who would be your squad? Like, what's the closest team to you?
Grizzlies, probably. Probably the Grizzlies, but I don't identify. I'm not like a – I like Memphis's barbecue and stuff, but I don't like their sports, you know. But it's I love their ribs and stuff. But no, it's like like I said, we had the Hawks in the 50s. I talked to my wife's grandpa about
that. Yeah. I know that, yeah.
But it's like I mean, he had it made, man. He had a basketball team here. We didn't – like, we don't have a football team or a basketball team right now, you know. But I do like the Cardinals and Blues, obviously. And I still love the – I love Gretzky when I was a kid, so I always like the Kings, too, you know. It's like
– Oh, well, you do Brewer. You got to love the Blues. I mean, that's definitely your squad.
No, definitely. I still love the Blues for sure. But, I mean, I definitely like your teams, too. I mean, I definitely like a lot of the L.A. teams, I think. I mean, like I said, if I had a basketball team, I'd probably be talking shit on the Lakers. But I love the Lakers, so I don't have a basketball team. You know, it's like I've always loved Shaq and Kobe. And, like, I mean, LeBron's awesome. And, like, I mean, you guys had some of the best players. And, I mean, that's what I like, winners, man. That's just kind of my mentality, you know. But like I said,
you're not too far from Milwaukee. And, like, if you want to back a squad, Giannis is the fucking G.
Yeah. Milwaukee's killing it, man. I mean, they're definitely great. And we have the Bulls are close too, but Chicago's such a rival town that like I feel like in sports, like we're always like, fuck the Blackhawks the same way you don't like the Celtics. It's the same thing. And like, they're like,
sure.
They just ruined my childhood, you know, Detroit and Chicago ruined my childhood, you know?
Oh yeah. The Red Wings. Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
The Suicide Machine boys love the fucking Red Wings. They used to, at least.
They're just such a good team in the 90s. They always just crushed us, and they always ruined my childhood. But I think the Cardinals, I mean, they're probably like that for the Cubs, you know. I mean,
Cardinals, being a Dodger fan, dude, we're losing so many viewers right now, I'm sure.
We started
talking about Superman, talk about Tony Hawk. I'm like, nah. Look, I literally, like, there's a hill just outside of my house, and right on the underside of that hill is Dodger Stadium. So,
wow, okay. You know. So you're in downtown.
I'm Dodger Nation too, and the Cardinals are definitely our fucking rivals. So we've had some good battles.
Yeah, I mean the Cardinals are one of those like legacy teams, man. Like that's what we have in St. Louis the most. I think is like second most World Series and stuff. I mean, it's one of those like legacy teams. Like to where like me, I just hate Chicago, New York teams. You know, as far as baseball goes, you know. But it changes in other. It just changes with other sports, though. You know, like I feel like I hate the Yankees and I hate the Cubs and White Sox and all that stuff. But I mean, I like the Dodgers too, man. I'm not against. Like I said, LA is like a sports capital, so it's like I kind of respect a lot of the teams because, like, just as an American, you know. And same with other teams, you know. Just like it's like sports, you know.
Well, bro, I mean, if you're coming at it from the point of view about America's teams and whatnot, you kind of got to love the Cowboys and the Yankees.
Yeah, it just
I don't love either of those teams, but they are America's teams in their respective sports.
It's rival to the Cardinals, I feel like, and that's where my loyalty, you know, it messes with me because they have more chance. The only thing I hate about the Yankees, they have more championships than the Cardinals. That's the only thing I hate about them.
Yankees have more championships than fucking everybody.
Than both our teams combined, to be honest. And I won't admit that again. It riles me up, man. I'm a competitive guy. It riles me up when I hear that shit. But I mean, they're having a down period right now, which is cool
for them.
Yeah, but I love college basketball the most, man. Those kids are just amazing, bro.
Like, it's hard for me to fuck with college sports because, to me, they're fucking children. You know what I mean?
And but those threes, bro. They shoot so many threes. I'm just like,
yeah, I know. But there's just something weird to me about, like, you know, you people that, especially college football, especially in the South, these people take this shit like fucking – you know, like, it's Nebraska. A bloodlust almost. And it's like, these are fucking kids, man.
No, Nebraska's like that too, bro. I mean, you fuck with the Huskers.
Oh, yeah.
They flip out.
Roll Tide, Alabama. Like, those fucking.
No, you're right, dude. Yeah, it's crazy. And, like, no, I mean, and, like, to me, I'm, like, almost 40, man. So, like, a lot of these pro athletes are kids too. You know, that's, I mean.
Dude, I know, dude. They talk about all the time, every fucking game. They talk about, can you believe how good LeBron James is at this age? He's so old. I'm like, I'm 15 years older than that motherfucker. What am I? Jesus.
No, I remember being a kid and you're like looking up, you're like, wow, these guys are magic. Now I'm just like, I gotta check this guy's ID before he goes to a bar. You know, it's like if I was a bouncer, I'd be checking his ID. You know, it is weird seeing athletes younger than you. It's so weird seeing athletes younger than me, and I'm at that point where they just started being younger than me. It's like weird,
dude, bro. I'm in an age where like everybody's younger than me.
I mean, well, especially
Obama and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar are older than me, and Bruce Springsteen, and that's about it. I'm older than everybody else.
Dude, that's crazy. Yeah, no, that's how I'll be, man. I remember being like I was always like the youngest kid at the party. Now everybody's like, you know what I mean? Now I'm like the oldest one almost too. It's like the same. You know what I mean? I remember being like, I don't know, like 15, 16, everybody was like 24, you know? Now I'm like in my 30s, everybody's like 21 at the bars. You know, it's weird.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. The thing about age is like, I'm going to a punk rock gig tonight. I'm going to one tomorrow night. I go to shows all the time. I fucking skate still. And just do what fucking makes you happy. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. Well, I saw you running on Instagram earlier. What is your workout routine like? I mean, I was actually going to ask you that when I saw that.
Okay, so I was mentioning that hill that borders Dodger Stadium. It's called Elysian Park. And I take one of my dogs every day, and it's a hike, but I run it. So I run 3 or 4 miles uphill, and then every day I do different workouts, and I'm, you know. It's just like, I mean, if you've ever seen Goldfinger play, we put on a pretty physical show.
I'd say, yeah.
And I don't ever want to be in a place where I can't. There's going to be a day where my body just says, we're fucking done. We're not doing this anymore. But I don't want that day to come because I've been fucking lazy. Or because I've just decided to eat like shit. Or I decided to start smoking cigarettes again. Or, do you know what I mean? And, you know, I've had a lot of mental health issues over the years, and I've been on antidepressants and shit. And the thing that I've discovered that straightens my fucking brain out more than anything is exercise.
Definitely agree. Especially
if I'm in a fucked up headspace, like I said, I'll put on the Ramones or Van Halen or whatever, and I'll go hit that hill and I'll go for a run. And all of a sudden everything just sort of falls into place. And cause you're releasing dopamines and endorphins and whatever the fuck. And if you need medication, take medication. But for me, I have found that exercise helps my depression more than any pills I've ever taken.
Dude, same. I mean, it does the same thing like waking up and smoking weed used to do, you know? I feel like I like ride bikes a lot. I ride like 2 miles to the gym, 2 miles back. It's an e-bike, so I still pedal hard, you know? It's like, I'm not trying to act like I don't use an engine on it. But I still pedal hard about 2 miles and pedal hard about 2 miles back with like an e-bike and stuff. And the gym too, you're right, man. I think that's the easiest way to kind of get your mind back in order. I'll do that. I'll ride to the gym, do a bunch of laps and stuff on the track, and then lift a bunch of outdated equipment, and then hot tub, bro, hot tub steamer, man. That's how I'm just nice, you know.
Oh, I'm at an age where it's not about hot; it's about ice. Like I have to ice everything all the time. As soon as we get off stage, dude, I got a big old fucking ice bag, and I'm icing my back and my ankles.
I hear the ice bath does a similar thing too. I just never tried that yet.
Cryotherapy. I can't afford that shit, but if I could, I'd do cryotherapy all the time.
Oh man, we're in a bad spot economically. Rock stars can't afford that, bro. You know it's bad. You know it's.
Bro, I am not a rock star. I am a working class musician.
Well, I do like the humbleness, man. But I think a lot of you guys don't know how cool you are. I feel like that's maybe a good thing. So you're not just ego would annoy me more than. But I do appreciate the humbleness. I do like. I mean, you're an absolute legend if you don't know that.
Oh, man, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm just saying, and it's not code for old. Like, a lot of people think it's a code for old. Like, people tell me that shit all the time. Like, I'm just calling you old in a nice way. I'm like, no, dude.
If you started calling me a punk rock institution, I would feel old. So,
yeah. fair. And I'm just reiterating that I'm not being condescending. I just legit mean that. And, like, I mean, your music's great, man. You've got a lot of good stuff. And I think, like, it's funny how a lot of the rock stars, like, think of themselves. Like it's funny. It's like, artists almost don't know where they're at. In a way of, like status almost, it seems like a lot of times. Like a lot of you guys, I'm not sure I won't go on a category, but I probably talked to 4 rock stars this week just off the, and I don't always do that, just this week. But and none of you guys know how awesome you are almost. It's weird. It's like a weird
thing. Well, I think that's because unless you're a fucking narcissist, okay. you have your own idols and you know your place in the geography of things. You know what I mean? Like, I just went out and I did a bunch of tours of the Punk Rock Museum, and that fucking humbled me, dude.
Oh,
face to face with the history of punk rock. And then, you know, Fat Mike from NOFX, it's his museum. And that's he's awesome. Just there hanging out. So I'm just hanging out with Mike every day. And, you know, I mean, I look up to Mike.
Huh? Is that in Vegas or LA?
Yeah.
Vegas?
Yeah.
I want to see that at some point. That's awesome. You know,
and then while I was out in Vegas, Angelo from Fishbone came out and played a show at some bar downtown. And like, these are the dudes that I look up to. These are the dudes that, you know, as well as, you know, fucking straight up legends like the Stones or Eddie Van Halen or whatever. Do you know what I mean? When somebody uses a term like a legend or whatever, I immediately think of Keith Richards. So in no way, shape, or form, and you know what I mean, am I? And dude, right before I jumped on this call, I was fucking sweeping my floor and picking up dog shit in my yard. So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're all just people in that regard too. But you know, but it's like I don't know. That's crazy. I love that mindset. And you're right, man. You can't believe your bullshit too much, but you can't be depressed either. You know, it's like that middle ground. It's like you don't want to be like self-deprecating, but you also don't want to believe your own bullshit you're selling. You know. And I do think that, no, I can relate a lot to that because I think, no matter how people, like, you, and I'm still kind of young in the game. I feel like I've only been doing entertainment for a couple years now or something. But I do think people will come to me like that, and I'll think the same thing. It makes a lot of sense. I'll be like, man, I'm not Elvis or this or that or whatever, you know, terminology. Because we're all just looking up to the guys we looked up to as a kid, you know. And, like, and I'm fortunate enough to meet a lot of them like yourself. You know, I'm fortunate enough to be able to electronically meet them, you know.
I'll also tell you, dude, like, I remain eternally grateful for the people that listen to our records and the people that, you know, we started in 1994. So now we're 30 years later, somebody will buy tickets online months before we come to their town. They'll get a sitter that night if they've got kids, or a dog sitter. They'll fucking drive all the way in from whatever town they live in. They'll pay for parking. They'll wait in line. Dude, I am so grateful for those people. And the fact that they like care enough about, you know, what we do to fucking make a day out of coming to hear us play I never, ever fucking lose sight of that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm fortunately at a place in my life where I don't have to buy tickets for shit very often. And I generally don't have to wait in line, especially if it's in LA, if I want to go see somebody play. But even then, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't want to fucking leave. I got three dogs. My guitars are here. I don't want to leave the house. So then I times that by fucking 10 and I have to pay for the experience. That is not lost on me. You know what I mean? And I am so grateful for the people that still care enough about my band to come out and spend the night with us. You know what I mean?
No, that's how I feel about this show. I mean, we have like probably cross platform. It looks like 1,200 people watching cross platform right now. It says like 3 on here, but Rumble's got like hellas and like other ones that kick and stuff. But so a cross platform, and this is a Thursday night to me. They're like, they're spending their Thursday night. I mean, granted, you're a rock star, and that's probably a lot of the reason. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, I'm not delusional, but I'm saying, like, but I think that, like, it's an honor that people will spend their Thursday, like, just watching this, like, cell phone podcast, and it's an honor you'd go backwards in your career to do this, and, like, you know, I just feel like, I feel the same way. I feel, like, completely humbled by the experience, and I think that's a sign of more successful people are more like that, I think, like, as I got older, because I was way more arrogant when I had nothing going on. I mean, I remember being a child, like 16 to 19, just being so arrogant, but having nothing going on or nothing to say or nothing to contribute. And now I'm just, like I said, like this will probably get like tens of thousands of views just on, this will probably get 200,000 views cross platform or something like that. And to me, I mean, not to gold, to Goldfinger, that's probably nothing, but to me, that's crazy that many people will listen.
Bro, you got a million fucking followers, right? Am I right?
On Instagram, yeah, but that's just crazy though. That many people. That's what I tell people is the difference between like delusion and like reality. Almost like how many people take part in your delusion, you know? And it's like
right.
I feel like just like humbled by, you know, like I said, like this week alone, bro. I mean, this week alone just been magic, and this conversation has been magic. Being a guy from Goldfinger, man, like just I'm like a teenage fanboy. It's just 40, you know.
Like, bro, yeah, I appreciate that. When you first asked me, I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. I'll do your pod. And then I went and I looked at your Instagram and I was like, wait, what? Because if like generally I get hit up to do like either pretty much punk rock podcasts, or occasionally get asked to do like a political or a basketball pod. But I was looking at, I'm like, why? I couldn't find the through line. So I hit you up yesterday. I'm like, I'm just curious, why me?
Dude, that was so funny reading that, bros. I'm reading some. I'm like, why wouldn't I have a guy from Goldfinger on here? I'm like, I can't believe you even said yes, bro. That's how I feel. I'm like, I appreciate the charity. I'm like, does he have community service to fill in? Or like, you know, I'm just saying, like, I was like, when you asked me that, I was like, man, the world's crazy if you're asking me that. You know, it's like, that's how I feel. It's like, but no, yeah. Like, and I won't keep it too long, man. I think we were at the hour point, trying to keep it there. But like, man, I appreciate you coming on here, man. I appreciate your time and stuff. And like, you guys want to promote some stuff later on, I'm always down, man. I love your band, so I'm always down for whatever, dude.
All right on, man. I appreciate that.
And if you want to try any stuff before we get out of here, we still got a lot of people watching, like cross platform, looks like.
Are people asking questions? Like, can they type shit in or something?
They can, but they're not. There's like hundreds of just on Rumble alone, there's like hundreds of people like watching, but there's like two or three comments, which is weird. I don't know, understand it.
Huh.
But there's about 1,000 people watching cross platform, but not many questions. I guess a lot of these people watching their TV, it seems like, too. They pull it up on the app or something. That's my guess. And like, some people use their phone, but I mean, it depends on the guest, bro. Like, sometimes if we have like a psychic or something, the comments are just going, everybody's asking about their lost dog or something.
Cat. I don't think we're saying anything too incendiary. I don't think we've been saying much that would piss people off or make them like, fuck you.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm.
I hope not.
And I feel like I'm doing that on purpose as a human being. I think like Howard Stern did that well. Whatever, you know, that's his true art form. You know, it's like we're in a time right now we need to come together, and it's just like, the divide's just over, man. It's just like I'm so sick of just everybody arguing nonstop. It was funny like 10 years ago when you'd like make fun of people on the internet. Now it's how everybody communicates. I'm like, dude, it's just like I just can't even do that anymore. Like the shop.
Yeah, there's enough of that shit, man.
It's over, man. It's just it's over. New chapter, you know. It's like. But yeah, if you want to throw, I mean, everybody knows your band already, bro. But if you want to throw any links out that people might not, or if somebody hasn't heard of Goldfinger, where to start, or whatever you want to throw out before we get out of here, like, I mean,
I would say if you don't know the band, a good place to start is our second record. It's called Hang Ups. And I think that's it's not our biggest selling record, but it's the one that people that listen to the band, that love the band, that's a true Goldfinger fan's favorite record is our second record, Hang Ups.
This is a great album. Start there. This is a great album. Just tear up their Spotify and stuff. That's probably what pays the most for these artists. Like Spotify or YouTube, check it out. Check them out there. We did actually have a comment after we bring up comments. I can't pronounce your name, so sorry if I can't pronounce your name. It's a bunch of letters to me, and I'm kind of an idiot.
Gilgenlial. Yes.
So no disrespect, I'm just illiterate. Yeah. So, I've been thinking about getting into the rock and roll business, a rock star business. What advice would you give an up and coming future rock star? I love the confidence in that question too.
Rock and roll star business. Well, I don't know if I'm the guy to ask, but if you want to be a musician, I will tell you, you have to fucking love music. You have to love music first. Kobe used to say, keep the main thing the main thing. Somebody I work with works closely with a lot of very young artists. And sometimes I'll go to the studio and they'll be there, you know, doing whatever, the writing or recording. And I hear these conversations, man, and they're talking about TikTok and they're talking about everything but the main thing. Do you know what I mean? So if you sing, if you are a writer, if you play an instrument, you have to fucking love that thing first. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not a musician, but I totally agree.
Yeah, if you don't truly love and live for the art that you're making, then you're in the wrong fucking business. Be a manager, be a publicist or something. You know what I mean? If you care about fucking views or who you're seen with or getting invited to this party or that party, you know, I mean, all that shit's fun. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say that, like, I mean, I love that I've had a lot of the experiences I've had, but every cool experience I've ever had is because I play guitar. You know what I mean? And I care deeply about being a fucking guitar player first and foremost. You know what I mean? So, you know, the way you've worded that question, rock and roll star business, it sounds like you might want to be a manager or a publicist.
I just love the confidence. And what advice would you give an up and coming future rock star? I love the confidence of that, man. I just want to bottle that confidence, man. It's like, that's amazing. Like, and I'm not a musician, but I totally agree with what you say, because you're not going to get through the crashing on couch years if you don't absolutely love your dream or whatever it is. I mean, mine's like comedy and podcasting, so I can relate to it a little bit. But like, I mean, you have to have that delusion and love to get anywhere, man. Otherwise, you're just going to get
We're going to go out. We played. Goldfinger played to well over 100,000 people last year.
Wow, that's awesome.
And we're gonna play to, like, you know, tens of thousands of people this year too. But when I'm not doing that, I'll go play, you know, a bar downtown for 30 people because I just want to fucking play. Produce some little punk rock record for a local band, or I'll go play on somebody else's record because, again, keep the main thing the main thing. I love music. I love playing guitar. So, you know, that's the thing.
I legit love that. I love that, man. I think that's what art's about. I think art's definitely about, like, I want to love the creation process of art more so too. I think like, when you're young, I don't know if you had this problem at all, but like, when I was like 16 to like 19, maybe like 24, like, I absolutely just love to create everything. Yeah. And now that I'm like older, it's like a job, and I'm like, I'm talking one of the biggest bands, or one of my favorite bands as a kid, even, you know. So like, and it's awesome, but still motivating yourself to get ready to talk for an hour. So, it's just different than it was as a kid. You know, I would have killed somebody to talk to you at 16. You know, like, but and I love it now still. Don't get me wrong, but I'm saying, like, it's a job now, and it feels different.
Yeah, there's parts of it that are a job. You know what I mean?
And so I think adding that to it for me anyway took a little bit of love out of the creative aspect that would have been like when I was a kid, bro. It was all creation. That's all I even cared about. I didn't care about the money aspect. I didn't care about success. I didn't care if people were watching this. I wouldn't have cared if anybody was watching this. I just would have been like, oh, man. And like, I would have had like 45,000 questions, you know, on a sheet of paper. And it's like, I was just, I feel like that delusion of youth, man. It's like, I think commented again, like, radio's all hip hop nowadays, though. How do you break through that nowadays? Touring? I mean, you just got to do your own
thing. I don't think that, I mean, first of all, radio is such a wide open fucking landscape between Sirius XM and SoundCloud, and you know, you can tune into certain radio stations on streaming services. But as far as terrestrial radio, I don't know if that's true. Like, it depends on the part of the, like, in LA, K-Rock, which is the alternative station, is still far and away the biggest station in LA, and they don't play hip-hop. The hip-hop stations here are fucking huge, but K-Rock is still the biggest station. And if you go into, you know, the Midwest or parts of the South, I'm sure country and Western is the biggest shit. So I think it depends on where you are. As far as breaking through, fuck, I don't know, dude, because, you know, I watched the Grammys this year, and I knew, bro, I'm going to guess TikTok maybe, or SoundCloud. Do you know what I mean? But I don't have a TikTok, and I don't go on SoundCloud. But I don't know if I've got a good answer for you.
I think rap's dead, honestly. As a customer, like I said, I'm a customer. I'm not even a musician. I think rap's dead, bro. You look at the Billboard right now; it's all like TikTok and country music, man. Like, whatever went viral.
Oh, rap is not dead, not even close.
I mean, compared to where it was, though, you know. I mean, I think like
here's the thing: it's been around. Hip hop is 50 years old this year.
And that's true. And that's
anniversary. True. It is an established part of the mainstream, so I don't think it's not as revolutionary in punk rock as it used to be. Like everything, you know what I mean? When you've got bands like Green Day selling tens of millions of records and playing stadiums, it's not as incendiary and revolutionary as it used to be, you know. And same thing when, you know, Drake is one of the biggest artists in the world.
That's true. So
hip hop isn't really, it's not punk anymore. And so now it's whatever the fucking new thing is. Like I said, I love a lot of gay and trans artists, and that, you know, and living in East LA, a lot of Latin artists, Mexican, I go to a punk rock show here. It's almost all Mexican kids. They're the ones that are keeping the fire. Do you know what I mean? So
definitely a lot of rap that's successful. I'm saying, like, you have Beyonce going country now. You have, like, I mean, you look at Billboard right now. I mean, you're having this, like, weird country emergence right now, I think. And then, like,
it's whatever. So crazy, dude. In LA, everybody thinks they're a fucking Hollywood hillbillies, I call them.
Is that what's happening now in LA? I didn't even know.
Oh, dude, there's a bar here called Desert Five Spot, and it's like the hot spot, and it's like a country and western bar, but it's like kids who 10 years ago had sideways haircuts, and, you know, now they're fucking wearing cowboy hats, and it's another trend. It'll come and go like everything.
You're right. No, you're definitely right. And those guys, yeah, it's like everybody's afraid to be themselves, man. So they latch on to these trends to get accepted, you know, and then it becomes like this, like, what's that called? Like pack rat culture kind of thing.
But that's just the way culture is. That's the way, you know, I used to really hate it and call them sheep and shit. But now it's just like, well, I went to eat the other night, and I'm standing waiting for a table, and there was like a bunch of kids, probably between, I don't know, 17 to 20 maybe. And they were all dressed pretty much the same, and they all had the same haircut. And I said, y'all have the same haircut. And they said, yeah. I said, you did it on purpose? And they're like, yeah, it's the style. And I'm like, all right. And the thing is like, they don't think about it beyond that. They're like, oh, I guess this is what we do now. This is the style. And that shit used to just drive me fucking crazy. But these kids were so like, yeah, it's the style. And I'm like, I'm not going to shit on these kids. You know what I mean? This is what, I mean, dude, when I was a kid, like, it was like, oh, everybody got this skateboard. Do you know what I mean? And when this record came out, one guy would buy it and then make copies of it for everybody. So it's human nature to want to fit in. Do you know what I mean?
I can see that. And we do that to a different degree, I think, too. Yeah, no, I can see that. I can see that. Yeah, no, it's, I guess when you're young, you're so full of anger, you know, you just want to be like, I'm better than everything. You know, I remember the youthful arrogance. Yeah, I think I'm getting out of that now as I'm like late 30s.
Yeah.
You know, getting to that point. I can see that a lot. And like, that's funny that LA is going country too, man. It's kind of funny to me, like, to be honest.
Yeah.
I haven't been there since 2014.
It is pretty funny, I got to tell you.
It is kind of funny, especially how it was. I haven't been there since like 2014 or so. So it's like, for me, like 10 years ago, way different culture. And it's just funny, like, to hear that. Like, to be honest, it's kind of funny. Because I I'm from Missouri. It's like most of the states like that probably all the time, and has been for a while. But I mean, not St. Louis, not Kansas City, and, you know, not Columbia Springs. There's some exceptions, but most of the states kind of like that. You know, like the
They have a karaoke night at that country and western bar, and like every chick gets up and sings either Jolene or Crazy, and I'm like, Loretta Lynn exists. There are other songs.
It's the new Wonderwall, I guess, huh? Like, yeah. I remember that as a kid, man. Everybody just played Wonderwall.
Anyway, here's Wonderwall. Yeah,
yeah, for sure. And I love those songs by the actual artists. I saw Patsy Cline's House. You know, I'm an actual fan, but it gets watered down. Everybody does it. Yeah, it's like,
yeah.
But no, I think we're gonna talk for 9 more hours, but I don't shut up right now, bro. I'm sure you got more important things to do than do this podcast. So
I desperately need a shower, homie.
Well, dude, thanks. Thanks again for coming on here, brother. And like everybody watching this, thank you all. I appreciate you all.
Thank you.
Check out Goldfinger. Check out other podcasts. Just do whatever you want to do. I'm not gonna tell you to do. But thanks for watching. Thanks for serving. But thanks for watching us on a Thursday night. I appreciate you, Charlie. Pleasure to meet
all
you.
All right,
y'all. Legend, big fan of your band.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Right on.